So God, we humbly just lay this at your feet and just ask you to use it. And Lord, just manifest yourself in the powerful way in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to look this morning at Luke 4, chapter 4, verse 14. We're going to start off there. And it says this, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country." Now, I remember reading this over the years and looking at it, and just, now I'm talking from my point of view. It's puzzling. It was puzzling to me. And so as we look at it this morning, I want to see, you know, if we can lay some insight that Lord has for us. Now, I want you to think a minute. Say Jesus showed up. Okay, he just showed up. Would you think he showed up in the power of the Spirit? Right? Why is this verse telling us he showed up in the power of the Spirit? Why is it saying that? I mean, that's a given, right? That's just a given, you know? It's like, you know, Linda's going to come here this morning. She's going to have her clothes on, right? Right? We hope. Well, you know, it's like that. So if we don't say it, you know, you see what I'm saying? Why would you say, well, Linda came with her clothes on. Why would you say that? You know, well, what are you talking? You nuts? You know, this is what's happening here. Jesus showed up in the power of the Spirit. What are you telling us this for? Why are you saying this? Now, of course, it tells you a little bit how my mind works. I'm going like, why are you saying this? Now, so I want us to look at this and pay special attention because there's a huge lesson here. There's a huge lesson here for the church, and the church needs to hear it. But I want to make this message really specific this morning and and just call out us as individuals. This is for Broadlands Community Church. I mean, love all the churches around here. God bless them. But this is for us. God's speaking specifically to you. He's speaking specifically to me. He's speaking to Broadlands Community Church. So I'm going to make it very, very personal when we look at this. And so we see now Jesus, something different has happened to Jesus. Something unusual has happened to Jesus. Therefore, we need to be told about this unusual thing that has happened to Jesus. You see where I'm going at? Because it's not like, hey, Jesus showed up. I mean, that's good enough. I'm happy with that. But no, something different has happened to Jesus. He returns in the power of the Spirit. And if you know on the thing, I put dynamite after power because the word power is dunamis. Dunamis, and that's where we get the word dynamite. So Jesus returned, and he is like dynamite. All right? He is dynamite. He is on fire. He is boiling over. He returned like dynamite. Dynamite, okay? So this is the thing. Jesus returned in the power, the dynamite of the Spirit. The dynamite. Something is different with Jesus than has been before in his whole life. And we're being told about it. And we're going to continue to be told about it in the rest of the book of Luke. So let's look at this and think, what is God telling us? And so just a little history here. We know when we're looking at the book of Luke, and we've been in a few weeks, we were looking at Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's how we started off a few weeks ago. Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And what Luke does, he's a doctor and he investigates. He investigates. He's looking at the detail. He travels. He meets the Apostle Paul. He's traveling with the Apostle Paul. He's come to know the Lord. He's seeing all these miracles take place with the Apostle Paul. And so he's a Gentile, a non-Jewish person. He says, man, I got this buddy, another non-Jewish guy, and I'm going to write him a letter, and I'm going to tell him what's happening. I'm going to investigate so he can understand all the details. So what Luke is doing is he's with Paul, seeing the power of God working, but he wants to investigate and say, how did this happen? How did we get here? So he starts telling us about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to us about Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Now, again, we looked at Jesus' birth, and we saw how Jesus is God incarnate. Okay? What Jesus did, he came, he's in heaven with all eternity, for all eternity. Jesus is not a created being. Now, if you want to perplex your Mormon friends, okay, they don't believe this. You say, Jesus is for all eternity. He wasn't created. He existed from eternity past to eternity future. He's eternal. Mormon friends don't believe that. If you don't believe me, ask them. They say, oh, he's the Son of God. He's eternal. Wasn't created. He's eternal future, eternal past. Well, I don't believe that. Well, he's not the Son of God then. We have a different definition of the Son of God than they do. Okay? So Jesus, the eternal God, comes on earth. He's God. And what he does, he clothes himself in a body. He puts a body on himself. Okay? It comes through the Virgin Mary, and that's how he did it. So he's a man walking around like us, but he's God inside. And so God is walking around on this earth. That's how he came into the earth. He came that way. All right? And so what he says, and we know this, that Jesus, as God, made a decision not to act of his own volition, but to only hear what God says. He made that decision. So he could go as God and just do a miracle here, a miracle here, a miracle there, because God can do that. But he goes, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do what God the Father says. So I'm not going to do any miracles unless God the Father tells me. So he's going along life, you know, and he's cleaning house. He's a carpenter. He's making stuff, you know. He's mowing the lawn, whatever stuff he does. Now, see, some people say, well, if Jesus just waits on the power of God, then he won't know to mow the lawn. He won't know to clean the house. No. He acts, it's a man, it's people. I know lots of people that don't know Jesus, and they mow the lawn. They clean out. They're not even acting to be led by God or acknowledge him. So you function and do stuff in life. Everybody does stuff in life. You know, people that don't know Jesus wash their car. And Christians that know Jesus don't wash their car. I don't know what that is. You know, I mean, what you do things, normal life things. But in the things where God is speaking to you to step out and to do supernatural things and to make an impact for the kingdom, God tells you to do that. Y'all with me? So there's a difference. So what if Jesus is hearing from the Lord? He wouldn't know to make a chair unless God told him to make the chair. You know, Mary's mother said, Jesus, take out the trash. Well, Mom, I got to wait till God speaks and I'll see if I can take out the trash. Is that insane? Okay, so I'm just trying to have you understand that Jesus is a man, but he was clothed as a body. He functioned as a man without the power of God because he made a decision not to work in that power. Y'all with me? He's just like us doing. Now, he was a good man. I don't think he was doing bad stuff. I mean, I think he did what he was supposed to do. But he was functioning as a man. But what happens is a Christian, and we step out and into the power of God, then God starts doing supernatural stuff through us. That's what the Bible says. He starts moving supernaturally through believers. It tells us all through the scriptures. What Jesus shows us is how he came as a man, and we don't have much history about his life. We don't have much history before he was 30. Just a few things. Just a few things. Like Joseph and Mary, they go and sacrifice. You know, they carry out their little religious ceremony. They take him. He's 12 years old. And they have a whole group of them going. They do their little thing. And then they head back home. And they're sitting back home. They say, hey, you seen Jesus? I ain't seen Jesus. Where's Jesus? So they ask all their friends. They don't know where Jesus is. They were sons. So where's Jesus? So they're scared. They run back. And they say, Jesus. They find him. And he's in the temple talking to a bunch of priests. And a typical Jewish mother, she goes, what are you doing? We've been looking all over the place for you. And it really kind of says that. That's what she says. She says, what are you doing? We've been worried to death. And he goes, oh, I needed to be in my father's house. She looked over at Joseph. I don't know what he's talking about. You know, now, he doesn't say that in the Bible. But I'm thinking their thought. But it says, well, we're worried to death. Come on, come back with us. And so he goes back with them, and they were a little perplexed. And it says he was obedient to them from that day on. He acted and functioned as a man. You see what I'm saying? He's a man. He didn't do anything wrong, but he's God. He's God clothed in flesh, but he's just functioning. It's like a guy. You couldn't tell much difference with him and anybody else. Then something happens. Then something happens. God says, time for you to do your ministry. It's time for you to move out in power. It's time for you to impact this world. It's time for you to do something besides just carpentry and building tables and chairs. There's time for you to do something. And he comes down and God says, now it is time. And so what's important about this, we're looking at Jesus functioning as a normal, he's God, but he's functioning as a normal man, but you don't hear anything about him. See, unfortunately, that's what most of the church is. We're just building chairs, cleaning cars, mowing the lawn, and nobody hears anything about us. We're just making a living. See? But that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be there's a point where God says, okay, now make an impact. Now you make an impact. You see what I'm saying? And what Jesus is showing us, how does that happen? How does that? I mean, it's like a little kid. Have your little kid, and he comes up and says, he's 10 years old. Mom, I'm going to make an impact. Come on, go. He says, oh, God, don't come back. I don't think we want you to make an impact on nothing yet unless I'm with you. You know, it's like, Lord, you know, because they don't know. They're just operating out of their flesh or what they think is right, like most people. But Jesus is doing the right thing. You don't hear anything about him. But then something happens. And God said, now's the time. And it shows now's the time. And it's through the Spirit of God that the time comes. Now, the reason I want to make a point to Broadlands Community Church, because that's what God's saying to you. Now's the time. And it's the Holy Spirit that's going to make it happen. The Holy Spirit's going to move and things are going to change. Because, and this is the way it's supposed to be. Supposed to be. See what I'm saying? All right. So what we see here with Jesus, he's going along as God, doing stuff. Washing the car, mowing the lawn. Nice guy. But then something happens and he fulfills it. And so that's what we want to look at. And there's something that happens. We want to understand and see this, and so we can grasp it and see what God's asking of us. He's asking of us. And so BCC needs to embrace this. We need to embrace this, what Jesus did, and we need to embrace this so we can impact Northern Virginia. And by the way, this is the only way we're going to impact Northern Virginia. If we don't do this, we're just going to wash our car and mow our lawn. That's all we're going to do, and nobody's going to know any difference, which is fine. It's good to have a nice neighbor. But we're not going to make an impact for the kingdom. So this is important as we listen to this on how we make an impact for the kingdom. Go beyond washing our car and mowing the lawn. Y'all with me? And he's going to tell us. He's going to tell us how it happens. So let's look at what Luke says happened to Jesus. First 30 years, good guy. How'd you like to have a table and chair set made by Jesus? I bet it'd be a good set of chair. You know, he didn't even have Holy Spirit tell him nothing. I bet it's a good table and chair. But there's something happened after that 30 years. And so I've got a little overhead here up there, if you put that up there, Drew. Here are three major events that happened to Jesus that changed his ministry, that orchestrated his ministry, and it's a picture to us. So something happened. Jesus, as God, clothed in flesh, okay, that's who it is. Jesus, as God, clothed in flesh, this happened to him. This happened to him. Luke chapter 3, verse 22 says this, Jesus is baptized, and the Holy Spirit descends on him. So here you got Jesus, God, clothed in the body. He's God, clothed in the body. And what happened? It's the Holy Spirit descends on him. Now, somebody explain to me the Trinity. I mean, you know, 20 words or less. Who is the Trinity? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Okay, that's the Trinity. That's God. Now we got God the Father in heaven. Now we got Jesus on earth clothing the body. He just decided he clothed in it, in a body. So there's two. Now where's the Holy Spirit? He's with the Father. What happens here? He comes into the same body that Jesus is in. Y'all with me? Now we got the Trinity. God the Father, Jesus in the body, and the Holy Spirit. Says, scoot over Jesus. Him coming with you. So you got Holy Spirit and Jesus in the same body. Now, Jesus in that body, he's been making tables and chairs. Now, I'm not, that's what he was doing. He's a carpenter. He'd been making tables and chairs. Then the Holy Spirit comes in Jesus, and things change. Jesus, I got a few things more for you to do than making tables and chairs. So he enters in, and this is what happened. In Luke 3:22, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, descends on him. Says, like a dove, so it descends on him. Then look what happened in Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, God, in his human body, that has Holy Spirit has joined him in the body, has filled this body. Now Jesus, full of the Spirit, is led by the Spirit. Are you seeing? You seeing what's happening? Jesus making his tables and chairs. The Holy Spirit fills him and leads him to do something besides make tables and chairs. And he's going, and he's tempted by the devil. Devil knows what's going on. So, uh-oh, we've got a problem here. I wasn't worried about Jesus as long as he's making tables and chairs. You know, Satan didn't bother Jesus while he's making tables and chairs. And he ain't going to bother you while you make tables and chairs, because you're no threat. But when the Holy Spirit comes in you and he fills you and he starts leading you, all right, then all of a sudden Satan, whoa, I got to deal with this. All right? So Jesus, full of the Spirit, is led by the Spirit. Y'all following me? Okay? Now here's our verse today. So where the Spirit led Jesus, for all y'all that I just want my life to be wonderful, he led Jesus into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil. And Jesus, through the Spirit, overcame the temptations of the devil. So he is leaving that now, coming out of the wilderness. And this is the verse for Jesus coming out of the wilderness. Remember, Jesus was making tables and chairs. Now, coming out of the wilderness, it says this: Jesus returned in the power, the dynamite of the Spirit. He's on fire now. He returned in the power of the Spirit, the dynamite of the Spirit, and he went to Galilee. And all of a sudden, a report about him went out through the whole country. Nobody was talking about him while he's making tables and chairs. He making good tables and chairs. He probably had a good clientele. Said, hey, just look at this chair. Jesus made that. You ought to go get you a chair. But that's not what happened. Now a report. He comes out in the dynamite power of the Spirit, and there's a report coming. Oh my gosh, you ought to see Jesus. Uh-oh, things are happening in Galilee. You ought to see what's happening to Jesus. I mean, he's just making tables and chairs. Good old boy. But now something's happened. This is what this verse says. Jesus returned in the dynamite of the Spirit, and a report starts going out about him. Why is the report going out about him? This is personal to Broadlands Community Church, and I'm going to do this through this message. Why is a report going out about him? I mean, this whole verse says, you got as much as I do. Why? What happened? What's the difference? What? I didn't hear.
Now he's a threat.
He is a threat. Why? Power of the Holy Spirit. Now he's a threat. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. This guy's not just washing his car and mowing his lawn anymore. This guy's a threat. Because the power of the Holy Spirit just presents and starts moving him. And it's doing it perfectly because since Jesus, I love doing it because Jesus is the perfect man. When the Holy Spirit moves him, he goes. You know, so God gets along with God real good. You see what I'm saying? See, but when we, the Holy Spirit moves us, God, I want to. You know what you're talking about. Oh, God, you know what I know. I want to do this, and you tell me to do this. Besides, it's raining. Oh, Lord. See, we argue. He comes, and the Holy Spirit indwells us. And I don't know if you noticed it. We're not Jesus. So the Holy Spirit comes and dwells with us. We argue with him. I want you to change the world. Today, you know, let somebody else change it. You know, good grief, you know. I did my work last week. Now, besides, you're telling me to change it, and I know this other couple, and especially this, I got this other couple in Broadland, they don't do nothing. Why don't you tell them to do something? You know, and if they do something, I'd be more happy to do something. You see what I'm saying? And the Holy Spirit's going like, come on, come on. You know, and we always, oh, God, if you'd just speak to me. He is. You just don't want to listen. Just don't want to listen, you know, because he'll nudge you. Gosh, I need some salve on my shoulder. It hurt. I'm not doing nothing. You see what I'm saying? I'm trying to make a point here of what's happening and what's being revealed to us here and what Jesus shows us and he moves out. Now, I'm going to ask you, did Jesus have a different Holy Spirit than we do? Jesus had a good Holy Spirit. I mean, he was right on the money. My Holy Spirit, he's just kind of lackadaisical and not paying a lot of attention. My Holy Spirit, you know, he just, you know, he never does put me in the right place at the right time. I try to help him out, but it's just not working. See, the problem is, guys, I'm trying to tell you what's going on. You receive the same Holy Spirit as Jesus did. The same Holy Spirit as Jesus did. Now, here's the thing. This should be receiving the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit. It should be Broadlands Community Church's experience. This should be your experience. The Linda's experience should be Adam's experience, should be Marilyn's experience, should be Sophie's experience. Why? You have the same Holy Spirit. Same Holy Spirit. Well, they really do good. They have a better Holy Spirit than I do. I don't know about that. So you see what I'm saying here is that this should be Broadlands Community Church Holy Spirit. Well, you know, you need a position. How about a carpenter in Galilee making tables and chairs? See, no, it's the Holy Spirit that makes the difference. Not where you are, what you're doing. It's here in the Holy Spirit. Now, so we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, all right? And we receive forgiveness. But it is very clear we also receive power. It is inconsistent for a Christian not to receive power when they trust Jesus. Oh, I trust Jesus, but I don't receive forgiveness. Well, that's nuts. But we all say, I trust Jesus, but I don't receive power. They go hand in hand. They are not split up. We split them up because we can trust God for heaven, but not power now. You see what I'm saying? We'll trust God for power for heaven in the future, but we're not going to trust him for power now. So what we have here, that this experience of receiving forgiveness and receiving power is the same thing in God's eyes. We're the one that splits it up. We're the one that splits it up. Now, so Jesus knows it. So he goes with this. Now remember, Luke's writing this. He knows the whole thing. He's, I'm telling you what's happening. I'm researching it. So he's finishing up Luke. So he finishes up one of the last verses of Luke, and he records Jesus has been crucified, resurrected, and he's talking to the disciples. Okay? So he's going to tell the disciples, say, okay, you guys see me. I'm resurrected. I'm going to heaven. All right? Now, you guys stay put. You just stay put. And he says this. You stay put because of this. In Luke 24:49 says this. You stay put because you are going to be clothed with power from on high. They go, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I don't have a clue what he's talking about. I don't have a clue what he's going to. He says, because when I go to heaven, the Father's going to send you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings power. And then we go into the book of Acts. So they're going, okay, he says, pray. We've been praying for 40 days. Dear God, I'm sick of this praying stuff. Lord, and then all of a sudden, boom, the Holy Spirit comes on, and they're empowered. First day, or within close, they lead 3,000 to the Lord. Why? Did they get smarter? Peter had a real good Bible study, and this is a good verse, Peter, and they shared it, and everybody came, no, that's not what happened. They didn't get smarter. They didn't become better Bible teachers. What happened is they received the power of the Holy Spirit, and everything changed. And, you know, I hate to say this, and it really bothers me to say this, is I just preach and preach my heart out, and here, this is just the perfect word of God, or I think it is. This is just nailed it. See, we're impact. It's not going to make a difference. You say, oh, I want to go to dinner. I wish you'd make at least 10 minutes short. Gosh. You know, and I'm not you may ever think that. But I could say 10 words, and the Holy Spirit fall, the world will change. And I have nothing to do with the Holy Spirit falling. Now, God does say teach, so I'm just being obedient. All right, I'm being obedient. God, I did what you told me to. You falling, that's your deal. Yeah. But, I mean, seriously, that's what it says. The Word of God preached without the Holy Spirit is dead letter on a page. Boy, that scares me. It's a dead letter on a, even the Bible, it's a dead letter on a page without the Holy Spirit falling. How many people you know that pick up the Bible and they'll say this? I don't understand it. They'll say, I don't understand. You know why it's a dead letter on a page? Because you have to have the Holy Spirit to explain it to you. How many have come to know Jesus and said, man, this thing is like brand new. I'm seeing all sorts of stuff. You know, what changed? Holy Spirit fell, and now you can read it. You see, I mean, am I right? Am I right? Somebody said, well, I read the Bible all the time. I don't get nothing out of it. You know what's going on. I said, why don't we just pray the Holy Spirit fall on you and you understand this thing. You see what I'm saying? So this is what's saying. So Jesus comes back in the power. He comes back in the power. And the message is, that's the way we got it. He says, you will be clothed with power from on high. From on high. That's what he says. Last part of Luke. Now, so, well, that's in Luke. Of course, he says it all through the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit, all through Acts, which Luke wrote. And Luke was traveling with Paul. So he's traveling with Paul. And so Luke would have been with Paul, and he makes this statement. Paul makes this statement later on in the ministry, and Luke's with him. Luke's with him. Look at this verse. Short verse. This is a good memory verse. All right? Drew, you can put this verse up. So we can memorize this verse. So Paul's saying, now he's closing out this letter. This is towards the end, explaining the function of the church. So he's telling the believers, here's what he's telling them. Be filled with the Spirit. Where'd he get that? Good grief. Where'd he get that? That's what happened to Jesus. That's the first picture of it. Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit. Oh, you don't mean that. No, you're not. No, that's a different feel. You know, when Jesus filled, is different than me being filled. Because Jesus is a lot more than me. Because his Holy Spirit's better than my Holy. No, that's not working. That's not. So he told Jesus, Jesus has been filled and led. And Paul's going, finished this whole beautiful epistle on the church to the Ephesians. And says, by the way, be filled with the Spirit. Now, in case you don't understand, he puts in context, which the context we do understand. He goes, don't get falling down drunk, but be filled. Anybody got an idea on falling down drunk? All right? Not that you ever would, but you might have seen it around. You got falling down drunk? He said, no. Likewise, I want you to be filled. You're so overcome with the Spirit, you can't do nothing but what the Spirit says. When you're falling down drunk, you can't do anything but what the alcohol says. You can't even move. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you can't do anything but what the Spirit says, and you move in the power of the Spirit. Who does that? Those who have the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Put you on the spot. Who has the Holy Spirit in this room? Okay, get falling down drunk with the Holy Spirit. That's what he's saying. That is what he's saying. I love this. And you study something, you get older, and you look back and you say, I can't believe I even asked that question. You know, and that happens to me all the time. But here's one that you hear, and I've actually had arguments, you know, about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Like, you know, what's some strange thing, baptized? All the thing, baptized with the Holy Spirit, all that means is be totally consumed with the Spirit and act by the power of God. Be totally consumed with the Spirit and be influenced by the Spirit. Put it the way Ephesians said, get falling down drunk with the Spirit, and then you're under its influence. That's what it's saying. And he said, being filled. And the word filled, I love these words. Being filled, it's filled to consumption, to overflowing, that there's no room for anything else. When you're filled, you can't even be angry because there's no room for it to get in. You're filled to overflowing. Nothing can get in but the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened to Jesus. Is God, he could do it perfectly. You know, with us, we don't do it so perfectly. We got to learn to make those decisions to receive and be filled so full of the Holy Spirit that we can't do anything else. And I hate to make a point, but you just know what I'm talking about. We're just falling down drunk with the Holy Spirit and nothing. Wake up, get up, shape up, mom's coming. Boom, boom, you know, get out. You can get over it. You can get over it because nothing else can get in. That's what's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Y'all with me? This is what it says. This is what it says. So you look at this and you go, oh my gosh. Now here's the thing. And Jesus tells us, look, Jesus tells us, Paul tells us, be filled. He tells us right here, I believe in the forgiveness, all God's people say. I believe in being filled. I don't know if he tells me what I like, you know, but I don't know. I mean, how do you know? How do you know if God's, I hear this all the time. How do you know if God's speaking? What if somebody just falling down drunk? How do you know he's drunk? I just bet a quarter on it. He is, you know. I can just tell he is. If God's speaking, you know. And if you don't know, he probably not. You see what I'm saying? But he ought to be. He ought to be. He told the disciples, when you go up before kings and queens and stuff, don't worry about what you say, because I'll fill you with the Holy Spirit and you'll know what to say. You're going to be falling down drunk and every king in the world is going to know it. And you're filled with the Spirit and every king in the world is going to know it. That's the comparison. And this is normal. That's the thing. When I looked at this, I'm thinking, this is normal. We're thinking, oh, well, that's just for some special person. No, it's for everybody. This is what it's supposed to be. And our mindset has to change. Our mindset has to change. Now, so it's something, and the title of the message, it's something different. It's something different. Jesus is showing us something different. It is something different that permeates our entire life. Now, and I thought about this, and y'all know, I mean, if I've talked to you, I'm just saying something, you know. I love this church, and I love you guys. I mean, it's just fun. You're fun. I enjoy you, you know. It's just neat. I enjoy you. And then, but, you know, if you look around, and the Bible says you never do this, if you compare yourself to others, he said don't ever do it. It's like, well, this is not a shot at anybody. I just, but it's a point for us. It's like, well, we could compare ourselves to XYZ church, and man, you know, they got more resources, they got more bells and whistles, and gosh, they got all this stuff. They got hundreds of people, and they're doing all sorts of stuff. Lord, you know, what are you telling us? God is saying, I'm telling you what to do, like we did in Acts. You don't have the bells and whistles, but you got power. You got power. See, and that's the key. You got power. And so we say, okay, I see that. And so we have power from on high. And so therefore, for Broadlands Community Church, as stated in the Bible, it tells us what our purpose and ministry is. Don't look at somebody's got all the bells. Praise Jesus, they got bells and whistles. I mean, that's not holy bells and whistles. I mean, that's good. But we don't have bells and whistles, holy or unholy. Okay, no bells and whistles. But he says, here you are to impact Northern Virginia just like it did in the book of Acts. So I just want to tell you something. The early church in the book of Acts had zero bells and whistles. No bells and whistles. Okay? So here's what they did. And this is, okay, this is a statement to us. God is telling us exactly what to do. And he says, here's what you do when you walk up with no bells and whistles and no money. And no money. And you're faced with the situation. Listen to this. It's all in context. So here's Luke. He's recording this. Acts 3:6. Peter said, we have no silver and gold, but what we do have, we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. That's the church. That's the church on fire. That's the church in power. And that's the church that Jesus showed us. Jesus didn't have any bells and whistles. I mean, he was his own bell and whistle. I mean, he was. Jesus go, I am the bell and whistle. You want bell and whistle? It is me. I'm the bell and whistle here. But the thing about it, he is a bell and whistle. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's in him. Who else is the Holy Spirit in? I mean, Jesus, you're saying I'm the bell and whistle? Yep. It's the Holy Spirit's in you. Is Adam the bell and whistle? Yep. It's the Holy Spirit. And we know Linda's the bell and whistle. We just don't even have. No. It's the Holy Spirit. But you see what I'm saying? But this is what it's saying. Look at what he says. Take it. We've put it this awesome history doesn't apply to us. We have no silver and gold, but what we have, we give you. And what they had made a difference. Now, we have power, and power is what we give others. There you go. People say, what is your ministry? Here it is. Here it is. We have power and we give others power. That's the ministry. So, and so when you, so you see here, we silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give to you. And you say, oh my God. What happens when a bunch of people come together? So, I mean, you don't have any money. I don't have any money. I don't have any bells and whistles. You don't have any bells and whistles. So we get together. And we get together. You know what that means? We still don't have any bells and whistles. And we still don't have any money. You know? It's like, I'm broke. I can't buy a house. But I'm going to get together with four broke people and buy a house. No, you don't work. You know? You can't do it. I mean, you can't get together broke people and get more money. You know? But look at what the church did. Look at what the church did. They didn't have money. But now they get together. Here's what a bunch of broke people do when they get together. And I think this so much speaks to us. And we continue in Acts 4, 29-30. So here's when the broke people get together. And now, Lord, they're praying. And now, Lord, look upon these people's threats and grant to your servants us to continue to speak your word with all boldness. They didn't ask for bells and whistles. They said, we will speak your word with boldness. Listen to this. As a matter of fact, we will speak your word with boldness while you, God, stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. It's what made them different. You know, that's what made them different. What made it in the Bible is totally absent bells and whistles. But he's totally full of the power of God of those who call upon him. You see what I'm saying? This would be encouragement to us. And so it said they all came together and prayed. That's what they prayed. We want boldness. I want a bell and whistle. No, I want boldness to speak. And God, you show your power to confirm your word. See the focus? See? And they're making an impact. Now, and so we know the Bible tells us when we do that, when Broadlands Community Church does that, God moves heaven to impact earth. God fills us with the Holy Spirit, empowering us to speak boldly, and therefore we are something different. Why? We have power. That's it. We have power. Now look what happened in Acts. This is a church. This is the way it's supposed to be. It's not some history lesson. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They just called out to God. A bunch of poor people got together. They call out to God. God just shook it. Didn't give me money. Didn't give me bells and whistles. He shook the place. He showed his presence, filled them with the Holy Spirit. And then they spoke the word with boldness. And people were changed because they spoke the word with boldness. And God moved. God moved. Amen? Amen? Powerful. Now, here's a little caveat, because, I mean, do you ever look around and get frustrated? I do. You know? And so we need to understand that things are happening around us, whether we see them or not. And we base it on our faith on what God says. That's our faith. Okay, God. All right. So we keep moving based on what he said, not looking around us, trying to be obedient to the Holy Spirit in us. So we're trying to focus on him. I'm trying to focus on him and knowing that he's moving. And so then here's something. And I want to share this to be an encouragement. This is not against anyone. I don't mean this against anyone, but I mean it as an encouragement to you. My job description, love Jesus and encourage you, all right? But what happens, even in difficulties from God, we have to see that God's moving. He's moving. We just can't see everything that's happening. And so what happens, we'll have refining fires come upon us, and people will say, you know, I'm not called to walk with you in this work. I'm not called with you to do that. I mean, and say, I need to move on. I'm not called with you. This is not where I belong. Okay? And you think, well, I'm here. What am I doing here? You know? God tells you what you're doing here. What's God doing with me? Listen to what he says in 11:19. And this is hard to grasp, but he's telling us. And apply this specifically to you and your situation. And it says this, 1 Corinthians 11:19. For there must be factions among you. Somebody says quarrels. They must, I mean, how's that? That'd be a memory verse for your kids. There must be quarrels among you. You know, like, oh, hallelujah, you answered that one. No, it's like, for there must be quarrels among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. Why are you here? You're genuine. You're genuine. You're genuine before the Lord for the ministry God's called you. You're just genuine. I want you to be encouraged because you're the right people. You're the right people for God to work through. Where's the people? You're the right people. How do you know I'm the right people? Because you're here. You're here. If you weren't the right people, you leave. See? But the ones that are genuine for the work he's got are here. See? And so that's what the verse said. Well, why is everybody arguing? Because just wait till Phil filters out and you'll find out. Some go, some gonna stay. And God goes, that's the way you do it. I don't know. I'm always before God. If I could ask him something, I wouldn't ask him. But I really feel like if you just give me a pamphlet, you know, and I'd follow A, B. I'm kind of that kind of guy. Okay, do this and do, and this happened. Praise Jesus. Tell this person this, and then this happened. And everybody's happy. And I tell this person this, and they go, I'm not doing that, you know. And then even worse, she said, well, about this? You dropped dead. And I thought, well, gosh, that didn't work out too good. And then somebody comes up, you know, God called me just to support you. I said, I didn't even talk to you. What are you doing here? I didn't even talk to you. I just feel I should be here. It's like, without the Spirit of God, the words in the Bible, dead letter on a page. You see what I'm saying? So it makes one real humble. But so, you're supposed to be here. Why are you here? Be encouraged. You're the right people. Now understand this. Here's another thing we need to understand. See, nobody talks about this because it's kind of like, you kind of feel bad. But the Lord didn't feel bad in writing that, so I'm just going to repeat what he says. See, so what you have is you come, some people come around and say, I really embrace what Broadlands Community Church is doing. I just love it, you know. And some people say, I don't have anything to do with it. I just don't have anything to do with it. And you don't know why. You say the same thing. You don't know why. Why? But it's always happened like that. Listen to this. I mean, this fact, here we're in Acts. I mean, the Holy Spirit's moving. Things are popping and flowing. It says in Acts 5, chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. Listen. Now, many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. Whoa. Right? And they were all gathered together in one big congregation. But none of the rest dared join them. I mean, think of, man, look at happening. This is a happening place. Look what's happening. God's moving. You won't go. I ain't going. You're going, that's too hot for me. I'm not going in there. You know, we'll go say a few songs and, you know, get a little holy water. I ain't going there. But that's what it says. It said, man, they're seeing also, but none of the rest dared join them. But it says, but they had high esteem. Yeah, that's something happening. You go, I ain't going. You can go, I ain't going. But something happening. Something's happening. You see what I'm saying? It's the same. And nothing's changed, so we can be a little encouraged. Why is this happening like this? Because it's happened from the very beginning. You know, and God said, we'll see who's genuine. Who wants to stay with what I've called you to do? And we'll just say, how are you going now? Just wait. Who's left? That's what it says. So, Here you have this whole section. Now, if this is true, about the Holy Spirit empowering us, and way I read it, is we receive forgiveness, we're to receive power. They are the same. You can't say, I got one, I'm not going to have the other. All right? It says you're going to have both. He's given both equal. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm forgiven, and it received power from on high, and then you carry out the ministries God calls you to. I'm going to do something besides wash my car and cut my lawn. I'm going to move out in the power of God. How many people, how many people want to move out in the power of God? That's a question. It's not rhetorical. Hand raise. Come on. Am I the only one? Right? You want to move? You want to move? You want to move? He tells us, this is the Bible. The Bible is the one that messes this whole thing up. We have all sorts of beliefs, you know. The Bible will mess up your beliefs. It will. You read it and say, God, you got to be kidding me. So here we are. I'm going to give you, we need to put our plate, if we believe we want God to move something in us supernaturally to do something other than mow a lawn and wash a car, we need to put ourselves in a position to continually to receive from on high. We have to be in a position to receive from on high, okay? How do you do that? Now, here's a great verse. I mean, this is incredible. I remember the first time the Lord showed me this. I said, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. How do we put ourselves in a place to receive power from on high? First of all, do we believe we are supposed to receive power from on high? That's the number one thing. I talk, well, I wish I was like Jesus. I wish I had that power. Well, you'll never have nothing. You know, I wish my lawn was mowed. You know, I wish, you know, my car was. Well, you're never going to get done. Now, what do you do? It's like we have to believe that God wants us to have power from on high, just like Jesus had. Jesus didn't have a different Holy Spirit than we did. And he was led by the Holy Spirit. So how do we move it? I believe it. God, I believe it. And he gives us an attitude. Here's the how-to. Here's the how-to. We believe it. It has everything to do is how we accepted Christ as our Savior. Now, I want to ask you something. When you received the Lord Jesus Christ, you said, God, I believe I'm forgiven. I can't save myself. You saved me. Something like that? Anybody else see Jesus any other way? Like, God, I can help you out a bunch. Come and get me. We're a good duo. Any of you come to Jesus like that? Huh? Nobody's. Or say, hey, Jesus, you can stop looking. Me and you saved the world. Any of you come to Jesus like that? No, you came as like, God, I am an absolute wreck. I've messed everything up. Lord, I can't believe what I've done. God, I can't save myself. I can't do this to myself. Lord, forgive me. And Jesus says, you're forgiven. So we said he can't do it by ourselves. Forgive me. And we are forgiven. And then we just believe it. And we start walking in it. We're forgiven. Somebody says, you did that. You bet, but I'm forgiven. You did. You bet, I'm forgiven. You messed up. You bet, but I'm forgiven. And all of a sudden, we're in all sorts of freedom because we're forgiven. We believe it, and we walk into it, and there's a peace. Amen? Listen to this verse. Don't forget what I just said. Listen to this verse and apply it to power. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, hear those words, as you have received Christ Jesus, I can't save myself. I've made a mess. God, you saved me. I'm going to trust in you, and I'm going to walk in just what you said. And trusting you, I have a home in heaven. Just as you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord, so walk in him. How do you walk in power? How do you walk in power? Just like I received the Lord Jesus. God, I can't do this by myself. Lord, I have no ability to do this. I can't possibly do this by myself. Lord God, you're going to have to give me power from on high. You're going to have to give me power from on high so I can do this. I can't do it by myself, God. But I'm going to move forward because I trust you. That's how you receive it. That's how you receive it. That's what Jesus did. But see, the only thing about Jesus, he could do it. I mean, he could do it. You think about that. I could do it, but I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit said. Now, he could do it, but he didn't. He did just what the Holy Spirit said. Okay, I'm going to walk in him. You see what I'm saying here? As you receive Jesus, so walk in him. You need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Now, with that same attitude in every situation, you can put this overhead up, Drew. Here's every situation. For every single believer in Broadlands Community Church, here is what you do in every situation to receive the power of God. Right here. Any situation, you walk up. We don't have silver and gold, but what we have, we give you. What we have. Hey, Wallace, you got XYZ here? No. But I tell you what we do have, and what we have, we give you. Don't be ashamed of it. That's the way the early church worked. Amen? Situation you're walking into, ain't no way I can answer. There's no way I can do that. But what I have, I'm going to give you, which is power. Amen? Is that what it says? Is that what? That's the new thing. That's the way the church is supposed to operate. God bless bells and whistles, but it's not in the Bible. It is not in the Bible. Kennedy Center is not in the Bible. Been there, like it. It's okay, but it's not in the Bible. You see what I'm saying? So we got everything we need. As far as God's concerned, he has given us everything we need. Power, and we give it to others. So in every situation you come to, this is what you say. I don't have that, but what I have, I give you. Now here's something I want to do. Y'all bear with. We're going a little long, but this is, you're loving it, I know. All right? You're loving it. Here, we'll give you some time here. And I never do hardly what's called a little ministry time. I want you to right now to focus on the Lord. The Lord tells us to do three things and to put us to receive. It says, set your mind. It says that in Romans. Set your mind on things of the Spirit. Set your mind. Get your mind off your car wash and set it on the Spirit of God. Set your mind. And it says, ask. Then it says, as you receive, walk. Just like you receive the Holy Spirit, just like you receive your salvation, walk in it. Now I want you to just pause. I want you to think on the Lord right now. Try to forget about me. If you need to shut your eyes, just shut your eyes. Okay, just shut your eyes. Don't look at the person next to you. Just shut your eyes. And just listen to this. Are you a child of the King? Are your sins forgiven? Then as you have forgiveness, you have power. And you look at God's power and he says, look at the Lord. Set your mind on the Lord right now. It says, you will receive power from on high. You will receive power from on high. It says, ask. Ask. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. God, we ask you. We ask. Ask. Fill me. Empower me. By Jesus Christ in you, by Jesus Christ in you, nothing around you will ever be the same. You go to the grocery store, you're a minister for Jesus Christ. You go to a soccer game, you're a minister for Jesus Christ. I hate to tell you this, if soccer's going to burn up. It just is. Those balls aren't going to stay inflated. But what will stay inflated is your ministry in power of the Lord Jesus Christ. You got a job that drives you nuts? You're a minister. Power from on high. You're a minister with power from the Lord Jesus Christ. With power. Think about it. Are you saved? Then you have power. Can you receive forgiveness? Then you can receive power. It's biblical. And if you don't think it's biblical, you don't belong here. You don't need to read this word. It's a waste of time. Don't read this word. It's a big lie. It's a big lie. But if you believe you can receive salvation, you believe you should receive power, then you read this word and it'll speak to you in power. Amen? Now what you say? Just say, God, speak to me right now. God, I want to receive power. Speak to me. Speak to me. Power. Lord, I want to be filled. You ask. I want to be filled. Speak to me, God. Lord, my prayer is for each and every person here that they would know, that they have every bit as much power as the Lord Jesus Christ had when he walked on this earth. Every bit as much power as Jesus. What did Jesus say? Oh, it's good I go away because you'll do greater things. You'll do greater things. Amen? Greater things. Greater things. I'll close with this verse. And you have to close with this verse because you get all out of whack. You know, take things in context. But Galatians 6:14, it says this. But far be it for me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You always have to boast in the Christ, not cross. I mean, somebody just start boasting in power and they lose all context. But we boast in the cross. First thing out of our mouth, we boast in the cross. However, we know that God wants us to have power with that cross. It comes afterwards, not before. We boast in the cross, we have power. Amen. Amen. Why don't we stand and we'll just close it. Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it went long, but I just pray, God, just the visual I have, that we see Jesus Christ as a carpenter. And he made really nice tables and chairs. I mean, I keep thinking that wouldn't it be nice to have a table and chairs made by Jesus? I mean, it'd be good. I bet it'd be level and straight and a nice varnish on it. Gosh, I just bet it'd be a great table and chair. Right? And that's what we're working. We believe in the Jesus that makes nice tables and chairs. Many of us, that's what we're doing. And we say, I want to be like Jesus so I can make nice tables and chairs. You know, what would Jesus do? Oh, he'd make nice tables and chairs. You know, that's the reason I hate those bracelets. I said, what would Jesus do? What Jesus would do is make nice tables and chairs. But what the Holy Spirit does, he comes within Jesus and changes the world. Why are you in your spot? You are in your spot to change the world, not to wash your car. It's good. Not to mow your lawn. It's good. Not to take your kid to umpteen hundred soccer games. That's good. But that's not why you're here. You're here to change the world. And that can only come through the Holy Spirit. And so you can say, God, I don't know how I do. Silver and gold I do not have. But what I have, I give you. And you say it to every situation that comes up. You say it to every person that comes up. I boast in nothing but the Lord Jesus Christ. But I have power. And what I have, I will give to you. That's what the book says. That's what the book says. God, we thank you. We give all things to you. I pray, God, you speak in a powerful way. In the name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All God people say, amen.
Stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So I walk upon salvation. Your Spirit alive in me, my life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What can I do? But offer this heart, oh God, completely to you. So what can I say? What can I